Jason, Pauline.
No.
Good evening, Pauline Benton, President, CSEA Evergreen Chapter 432. Here we are 2 days after Election Day, waiting for the final results. A little after 5 o'clock this evening, I checked the website of the Santa Clara County Registrar of Voters. With about 57% of the ballots counted so far, the parcel tax is continuing the trend of exceeding the required two-thirds majority vote, with almost 69% voting yes and 31% voting no. That's good news, especially for our school libraries. All 18 school libraries are a very valuable asset to this district, and the library program would not be possible without the 18 extremely dedicated classified library media assistants. Also continuing the trend since the polls closed is our school board race. Chris Corpus, Marissa Hansen, and Jim Zito remain in the lead, with Patty Andrade and Balaji Vinkontraman not far behind. If the trend continues, there will be change come January in 2 of the seats at the front of the boardroom. Some, or many, may say it won't be enough change. In my opinion, any change is better than no change. Change shows that where we were as a district was not good enough, and as stakeholders, we want new ideas, new opinions, and a new way of working together. I look forward to January and will expect and demand the school board to make the tough decisions to help guide this district to fiscal stability so that there are no additional classified layoffs and classified are paid the fair wages they most certainly deserve. In closing, I'd like to wish everyone a happy and restful Thanksgiving holiday with family and friends.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline.
Now comments from the Evergreen Teacher Association. Brian?
Good evening. I wanted to focus on positive things in my comments tonight, although I will just say that there is a difference in my view of the world in doing everything you can to win, and trust me, I personally know about that because I did everything I could to win, and being willing to do anything to win. There's a difference there, so that'll be a topic for another day. Speaking of positive, and I'm going to echo Pauline's comments, obviously we know that Marissa Hansen and Chris Corpus look like they're on our board, and I'm going to talk about Chris because he's in Palm Springs, because it must be nice to be retired and be able to go to Palm Springs when you want, except I have a visual aid in my pocket somewhere. And Chris, when he retired from the district, gave me this pin. And because I was admiring it, and he took it, because he's Chris, if you know Chris Corpus, he took this pin off and he handed it to me, and it's an apple, and it says, support services, administration, students, business, parents, community, teachers. And he handed it to me. Well, the next time I see it, I'm going to give it back to him, because he's going to be now on our board, and so I think it's very appropriate that he had it back. So, and then again, what Pauline was saying about Measure EE, the trend line is outstanding. You know, obviously we want to make sure it's done and that it's certified and we can all breathe and make sure. And absolutely a huge fan of keeping libraries open. As you probably know, my wife came to the district as a librarian. My mom was a librarian for a long time before she retired. Also, obviously, class size and the fact that we can hold the line in class size is huge. So I'll be glad when that's done and certified. There was something else, but it's been an interesting day. And so, just a quick plug for Tony Thurman. It's still a race. He is behind, at last I heard, 82,000 votes with 4 million ballots to count. So for those of you that think these superintendent of public instruction matters, because it does, it's still a race there too. So have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
It changed?
Yes.
Clearly, I should check my phone. Thank you.
Okay. We have two individuals, Sunil Sharman and Charles Cosby.
Good evening. My name is Sunil Sharma. I have two children in the school district.
I'm here to talk about testing drinking water for lead contamination. Lead contamination in drinking water is a serious health hazard. A new state law requires schools to test drinking water for lead by July of next year. In order to comply with this law, the Evergreen School District has tested water from only 5 sources of drinking water in each of its schools. This level of testing is not adequate. The only way to ensure that we have safe drinking water in our schools is to test each and every source of drinking water in each and every facility. Cutting corners in health-related matters is not the way to economize. The district has a responsibility to provide a safe and healthy environment for its students, regardless of the specifics of any statute. The community has stepped up to the plate and approved Measure EE. It is now the district's turn to step up to the plate, to do what is right, and to test each and every source of drinking water in all of its facilities for lead contamination. Do I have any more time?
Okay. Yes, 1 minute.
Here's an article from October 1st of this year from the San Jose Mercury News. And the headline is Gaps in Lead Testing Present Danger. Gaps in Lead Testing Present Danger. The first sentence, first paragraph reads, gaps in the new California law requiring schools to test their drinking water for lead could leave children vulnerable to the toxic metal. The issue here is the frequency of testing, and it's also the number of sources tested is not adequate, and the threshold at which water is deemed adequate is also very high in the law. Other states do it differently. Other school districts in the area, in the Bay Area, are testing each and every source more frequently. So we cannot use the law as the guide. We have to do what is right. The first step is to test each and every source of water, and then we can see what else needs to be done in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can respond.
Not now.
Well, not in comment, but.
Good evening, board. You may be wondering, why am I up here now? Normally when I speak for the board, it's during the communications section. I'm not here in my capacity as director of communications, but in another capacity. Although I will, since I have the microphone, I'll take like 20 seconds in the former capacity just to share some news that we're really excited about. We have signed an agreement with the Red Cross Silicon Valley chapter to use our middle school facilities as emergency shelters during a disaster.
Oh, that's terrific.
We're pleased not only for the good for the community, but this is another example of the work that we've been trying to do to be that good community partner.
Good.
Our community relations efforts mean being a resource for our community. So this is one example of that we're really proud to do.
Thank you. Thank you.
So now I'm taking that hat off. And I'm here in my capacity as the chair of the Yes on EE committee. As has been noted, we're not breaking up the champagne yet, but by all indications, it looks like Measure EE has likely passed and on track to do so by a greater margin than our last parcel tax 4 years ago. So I just want to take a minute to thank the people who stood up, because this is really much a cooperative effort. A lot of folks came to the table to make this happen through financial contributions, which we needed to do, obviously, and that's always probably the least fun part of these campaigns, but a very necessary one. We did manage to run the campaign that we wanted to run and do it under budget. So no campaign debt, and in fact, we may have some money that we figure what we do with. And so we want to thank the community who came forward financially to support us in that manner. We want to thank the committee, those members who came with their ideas, their thoughts, their labors. I want to thank our music teachers and music students in particular. They do performances at the Villages and at the Wednesday night Evergreen Market. Trustee Mace joined me in handing out leaflets at the latter event. It was a great opportunity to reach out to our community, but also show them what this is really all about. It's not an esoteric concept. These are actual things that benefit our actual students. This was a chance to share that with the community. And again, a lot of folks came to the table. I want to particularly thank our teachers. No one worked harder and got up on their feet and walked door to door and distributed literature than our teachers. And they did so relentlessly, so much so that every time I did overruns of our literature, we did 4 pieces of literature, Every time I would produce it, I would do 2,000 pieces over, 1,000 pieces over to have some for walks. And it became very difficult for me to organize any walks because the teachers kept taking them and distributing them door to door. And it was such an amazing support on the ground to have the teachers putting that kind of work in. And so I hope the board and everyone in the room joins me in thanking our teachers as well as our entire community for their financial contributions, for their endorsements, for their knocking on doors and doing that kind of work, and ultimately for their votes. Thank you.
Before you sit down, I have asked you this before, but there you go. So did we send out a note of thanks? I think we were going to. Did we send out a note of thanks to the community?
Tomorrow morning. I wanted to do this here first.
Terrific. Okay, so that's great. Okay. Thank you.
And I want to take the opportunity, since this is my last official board meeting, that I want to thank the teachers, thank CSEA, thank the administration, all the parents who put a lot of effort behind passing the parcel tax. And also just to thank you for all the things that we have done in the district in the last 16 years that I've served. That it took a lot of team effort from all of us. And I really want to thank you for that opportunity to serve with you. It really has been a privilege for me to have been able to stand by you and get a lot of things accomplished in the 16 years that I was on the board. Thank you very much for that effort. And I want to welcome Marissa. She'll be sitting at on this end next time around, next month.
Marissa.
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 Thank you. Okay, now we go on to, I want to recognize my family. They're back there. They have been very patient listening to me over the last 16 years of all the ups and downs that go on the board. And I want to thank them for all of their support, because they also were the first ones to, like, Sophia was a baby when I was first campaigning 16 years ago. So I want to thank my family for being very supportive in every way that they have, by listening and pitching in when we've had to do some campaign work. Thank you. Okay, now we go on to consent items.
Okay. Consent action items, 3.1, approval of board special meeting minutes amended October 16, 2018. 3.2, approval of board minutes October 18, 2018. 3.3, approval of personnel board report. 3.4, ratification of contracts. 3.5, ratification of October warrant list. 3.6, ratification of facilities use agreements. And if no one...
3.7. I just have a clarifying question on the contract use facilities agreement. I see that for the registrar of voters for multiple sites, it says 605. Is that per site?
I don't know. The registrar of voters, 605 for the custodial services. Is the $605 per site, or do you know if it's just collective?
It's collective.
There you go.
Wow, for all the sites. Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
Okay. It's been moved?
Second. Been moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Show the chair's eye. The motion passes. Okay, we go on to items for media discussion. 4.1, 2018 Student Performance and Progress and Local Control Accountability Plan, the ALCAP, the dashboard. Dan?
Good evening. As part of your board packet today, you received a pretty long memo. All the information contained in it, for the most part, is review and has been presented at previous board meetings in some form or another. I do have an updated copy. As I was reviewing the notes today, I noticed that one column of the data was left off of that memo, and I want you to have all the data in front of you. The state has eight priority LCFF priority areas. Most of them are reported on the dashboard. However, there are a few that are qualitative reports and aren't able to be reported from the state directly. So we provide a dashboard update each fall in five specific areas. One, priority one, which is basic conditions. LCFF priority two, which is implementation of state academic standards. LCFF priority three, which is parent engagement. LCFF priority six, which is school climate. And the new one this year, LCFF priority seven, which is a broad course of study. I'm going to go through real quick the memo, just a couple of highlights, and then I'll answer any questions that you have. So under priority one, local indicator basic conditions, we are doing really well. All of our facilities are deemed in good repair. We have no missed assignments of teachers and instructional materials for all of our students. This is reported in school SARCs, as well as the resolutions of textbook sufficiency, which I presented earlier this year. LCFF priority two is implementation of state standards. And in this portion, the option is to provide a survey to district staff in terms of ratings. I administered the survey same way that we did last year. I sent it to our principals and coaches and asked them to rate how we were in our progress in various areas. For the most part, it remained relatively consistent. A couple things that I'll just mention and I'll call the board's attention is our focus in NGSS, Next Generation Science Standards. That continues to move forward. This year, the state just adopted formally textbooks. We just started last week the NGSS Environmental Literacy with a partnership with Change Scale. So look at how we partner NGSS with environmental needs of our local community. Our kickoff meeting, we had teachers, we had administrators, we had several partners from Discovery Museum, Lawrence Hall of Science, a whole host of partners that were there to support us. We are also just approved via a partnership with Digital Promise to look at online educational resources aligned with NGSS and deeper learning. Those are a couple of examples of how we move forward in the curricular areas. Priority three is the parent engagement indicator. This was shared with the board, all of our outreach when we presented the LCAP. One new portion of the memo is the Youth Truth Survey. We do administer a family component. This is the first year that we gained momentum, if you will. We have piloted it in years before. This year we had 1,766 elementary families and 230 middle school families giving us feedback. Yet another data point for us to look at as we move forward. LCFF priority six is the local indicator of school climate. Again, this is the Youth Truth data, and this is the reason I reprinted the memo for you. That fourth column was left off in the original one that I gave you. A couple notes I would say is the high response rate in our elementaries of 93% of our students are taking the survey third grade and up. Again, providing us additional detail. What's notable about our middle school Youth Truth data is students self-report their ethnicity. So we're able to do a breakdown based on ethnicity and allow that to inform us how certain groups of our youth are responding to education in our system. Okay. LCFF priority seven is the newer indicator to report, which is a broad course of study. The elementary education code is pretty all-encompassing of what we would consider core subjects. For the middle school, the course of study includes English, social studies, foreign language, physical education, science, mathematics, visual and performing arts, applied arts, and career technical education. So these questions ask us to identify which courses of study we're doing well in, where we need to grow. The foreign language requirement at our middle school, Leyva Middle School and Quimby Oak currently do not have a foreign language in place. For applied arts, It's Leyva and Quimby Oak that we need to look at that area specifically. And in terms of rationale, the district has typically had difficulties hiring these specific credentials. In addition, as part of our practice, we typically hire specifically our content, our core subject areas, and then rely on their supplemental credentials to develop our elective pool. So that's something we need to look at, especially as the language. We are still moving forward, looking at the feasibility of the dual language pathway, sending our teachers to bilingual professional development. So hopefully that will be able to help us assist in that area. So in terms of the priorities, we will be reporting that we've met all the priorities. Reporting met means that you've completed the reporting requirement.
Dan, quick question, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Priority 4 and 5. I don't see them.
Priority 4 and 5 are specific. They're reported directly via the state.
Okay.
Priority, they all escape me, is the academic component, the CASP. It's the data points that they can pull directly from the test.
Okay. That's why it's not included here.
No.
Any questions?
I know. Oh, just one question, which is, when's the next time that we see another iteration of this? Is this just a once a year, an annual?
No, they'll be taking all of our data from last spring and doing a dashboard update in the upcoming months.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
And one final clarification. I read on priority one, it says number of identified instances where facilities do not meet good repair.
Yes.
So we are 100% more or less on every site?
In good repair, yes. And that's reported via the SARC.
Right, so there are no concerns about pathogens or anything else at any of the schools?
Not that I am aware of.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. So we go on to approval of resolution withdrawal from school's excess liability fund.
Yes. Good evening. Our South Bay Area Schools Insurance Authority, and the acronym is on your memo, SBA-SIA, is excess liability coverage for claims over $5 million, is currently placed with the school's excess liability fund, or SELF. The financial auditor for the South Bay Area School Insurance Authority, Jim Marta, has reported that the liability market for schools is hardening statewide. SELF may raise their attachment point from $5 million to $10 million or may adjust their rate. So the insurance authority group that we are have will market its excess liability coverage to include the most competitive rate in order to give the insurance group an option to move its insurance coverage, and they will need to give notice that they might withdraw from SELF. And this is a requirement. So this notice is not binding to the insurance liability group, and it can stay in SELF pool if they determine that is the fiscally way to move. But SELF requires that each individual school group that's a part of our group have its board of directors adopt a resolution giving notice of withdrawal. So it is recommended that our school board approve the resolution to withdraw from the SELF excess liability program effective July 1, 2019. You have the resolution in there.
Motion.
Motion to second.
Yeah, I got a question.
Do we have to motion second? Okay, yeah. Question?
I'll second it for the sake of conversation.
Yeah. Okay. So moving out of this particular program, will we be covered under a new one? Or?
They will be looking for that.
Okay.
That allows them to go out to market, see if there's better rates, our CES South Bay Area School Insurance Authority is a JPA within the county. And then the excess liability piece is the SELF fund. Mm-hmm. That's the one that they would be having an opportunity, depending on what the rates come in with SELF, for them to, it gives them the opportunity to go out and make decisions.
So we're just voting to if they need to close out and move forward with something else. That's
yes.
What our
SELF requires that the boards give prior notice, and that's what the resolution is, the prior notice to SELF.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, one. So in the short time that I have, want to understand what does hardening mean? What is insurance requirements going up? Is
what the, it's the claims that are hardening. The excess liability claims, the ones that are so, hitting over $5 million.
So more school districts are being sued for more than $5
million. Yes.
For more money.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It is a trend statewide in California. Mm-hmm. Mostly because of the sexual abuse claims.
Right.
Because
those can go up.
Okay. Question. So I just want to make sure that we are covered regardless. So I understand that this gives them the, you know, once we agree to withdraw, then they can go look and get something else. But is there any opportunity or possibility that we're going to be uninsured for anything in excess?
No. We are still part of the South Bay Area School Insurance, that group. And they will have that excess liability.
So they're not going to drop the coverage and leave it and then try to find. Okay, so we will always be covered.
Yes, of course.
All right, that's
that is by law. We have to be covered.
All right, yes, perfect.
So the whole, like Lilo was saying, the whole idea of this is that you pre-authorize them, because if you didn't, then they wouldn't have authorization from board. Right.
Perfect.
So it's to look for them to look around.
Right.
Just want it on the record that we will not be left
not
open.
That would not be good.
All right.
Okay, so we moved to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Show the chair is aye. The motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, so
Thanksgiving.
There's no personnel reports and communications. Evergreen School District Sunshine Proposal to California School Employees Association.
That's my get update. All right, we have it. There you go, CSAS. It is in the board packet, of course, but here's your hard copy.
Okay.
And we have received yours.
Okay, thank you. And God, we're at the end. Future meetings, December the 13th.
And maybe we always have meetings like this.
So anyway, this is the end of our meetings, and I want to thank everybody for attending. We do have December the 13th, or January the 10th, and February the 14th. And is there a motion to adjourn?
I have an informational item.
Okay, we have an informational item.
I've provided the board notice of my retirement effective January 4th, 2019. I want to thank the board and the district for over 30 years of serving the community. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. And I want to take
Kathy. Can you break your years down? How many years? Because I never knew how many years you taught in the classroom.
10.
10 years. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank Kathy. I really have enjoyed working with you, both as a teacher in their district, as a principal, and as a superintendent.
Thank
it was
you.
A real pleasure.
And thank you for your service.
Okay, thank you very much for attending. Meeting adjourned.